Let's pray while you're doing that. We thank you, Lord, that in all things we can trust you. In all things, we know that your love for us never wavers, but continues right on through. Truly, as we've just heard, no matter what changes in life, you are always by our side. So we ask you, Lord, during this time, to help to build us up, to lift us up, to open up our hearts and our minds, our ears, to hear what it is that you have for us this day. We pray that what is read is your word, and what is spoken is from you. Anything that's not, we pray, is forgotten. But that which is, we pray, molds us and shapes us, changes us, encourages us, and challenges us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 8, 15 and 16. Hear now God's word. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good, and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, let's see here. All right. That clock has a second hand, but it doesn't move. So I can't use it. So I've got to use the timer on my phone here. It doesn't move, but it works. It's weird. I'm going to give us a minute. I'm going to time it and make sure we're accurate. During this minute is one of the things I love about sharing offerings of the day. It truly is a time as we give our offerings for the day to think about how God has blessed us, because God has blessed us in so many wonderful ways. But we're going to take an extra special time, 1 minute, and I want you to think about all the blessings that you have in your life, all the ways that God has blessed you. And you got 1 minute to think of all of them. Now, you won't be able to, of course, but let's take a minute to think about God's blessings in our lives. So we have 1 minute to think about God's blessings in our lives, how God has blessed us. Ready? And start. Well done. Do you know that the average length of silence that people are comfortable with is 9 seconds? It's gone up over the years to 15 seconds, but you guys have broken that average. Well done. Thinking about our blessings sometimes can be quite difficult, at least for a long period of time. And we can rattle off blessings very quickly in the first, 10 seconds when we're doing something like this. I shared this before. When we have Thanksgiving at my family's house, we all stand in a circle and we hold hands and we go around the circle saying those things that we're thankful for in our lives. Not allowed to repeat what has already been said. And sometimes my dad's feeling particularly difficult that day, and so he has us go around twice. And we got like 30 people at this gathering. So, the first few are easy. You got family, you got friends, you got jobs, church is often said, but you get to a point where you're really starting to struggle. What is it that I'm truly thankful for in life? And then you start getting on to things like, I'm happy that my knees are still holding up. I'm glad that I can get up in the morning. I'm happy that when I check my sugar, it's usually good. All this kind of stuff, we're reaching, but that doesn't mean that we're no less thankful for those things. There are many blessings in our lives, but I love the blessings that we share. I'm thankful for the cart person at Chop and Save, I love when we've had a particularly harsh winters, that person who goes out at the grocery store and collects all the shopping carts and take them inside. I really feel for them. I mean, they are wrapped up when it's like 0 degrees outside, and these huge coats, big gloves, and they're pushing our carts that we're just not willing to go that far for us. We should be thankful for that. Thankful for the bank teller after a long day going to the bank to either deposit or withdraw, who smiles at me and asks how my day is going. That's nice. I appreciate that. For that person on the street as I was driving by, sitting at a red light maybe, and they wave to me and smile. Makes my day. It's easy for those blessings at the beginning, but at the end we start to see more clarity at how truly thankful we are in life. Hebrews, it starts off now. Whenever you read the Bible, pay particular attention to the first chapter of the book and the last chapter of a book, of a letter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, pay attention to the first and last chapter, because it's always the same and it's always true that when you try to tell someone something and you're going to take kind of a long time telling them it, people always remember the first thing that you say and the last thing that you say. The stuff in the middle, like this stuff here, most people, I won't say most people, some of you have probably already thought about what you're going to end up doing today. Probably rattling off the list. If you got to go shopping, you thought about all the stuff you got to shop for. I mean, truth be told, in the middle of my sermons, I'm probably thinking about what it is I'm going to do today. It's the first and the last things. Letters are no different. Paul says the things, and not just Paul, but the author of Hebrews says the things they really want you to hear in the last chapter. So let's pay attention. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let mutual love continue. In other words, love one another. Loving one another is what the disciples want us to do, the apostles, Jesus himself. We can get on board with that. If there's anything that you leave with today, leave with this. Love one another. Be there to support one another. Pray for one another. Help each other. Also know on the flip side of that you're not alone. That you got people in your lives who want to be involved. You got people in your lives who want to be there for you. To hold you up, to hold your baby for you. You got people in your lives who want to help you watch the kids. You got people in your lives who would love to provide you with a meal if you ever need it. You got people in your lives who are willing to sit with you for hours on end if you need that. You got people in your lives who are willing to take care of you when you get sick. People in your lives who want to encourage you when you feel down, or cry with you, or laugh with you when you're feeling happy. Love one another. But that's something we can all agree on. We should love one another. So the author of Hebrews continues, and he makes the circle of love one another just a little bit bigger. The author in Hebrews says this next: do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. When we see people on the streets, more often than not, they're just people on the streets. We'll never see them again. We drive right on by, and that's the last in our lives that they're going to be. But the author of Hebrews challenges us to love them too. Maybe we can't love them as in depth as we can love those around us, but maybe we can, and we shouldn't neglect that. You never know what it is that you will say or do in a person's life that will affect them, either in good or in bad. Have you ever, on a bad day, accidentally made someone else's day bad? You didn't mean it. You just weren't having a nice day. Your bills were due. You didn't have enough money to pay for it. You went out to your car. There was a flat tire. You told your kids that you had a flat tire. They started yelling at you because they couldn't go to some zoo or something that you had planned that day. And your day is just shot. And then the mailman comes by and he wants your signature on a package. And you're like, what? I got to sign this thing now? Ugh. And now he's walking down the road cranky because you were cranky to him, and we can ruin other people's days because we're not careful. The author of Hebrews realized we can also make other people's days great by showing hospitality to strangers whom we encounter. Someone comes up to us asking for help, whatever it might be. We could say, go away. Or we can say, we'll do whatever it is we can. We love you because Jesus loves you. And in doing that, we can change lives. It's not easy to take care of the stranger because we never know what we're getting into. We never know how deep we may have to go. But in doing that, we show not only them, but we show God that we have learned our lesson and that we know what love is. Now, we love our strangers. That can be difficult, but okay. The author of Hebrews takes it another step. Continues to say, remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Not just remember. Okay, I've done that. Take care of, love, show hospitality to those who are in prison. Not those who are in prison, they belong there. They've done bad things. They're being punished. Why do we have to take care of them? Because God loves them. Because we've done bad things too. Because we've made mistakes. And Christ loves us regardless. And so there's many ways to show those who are in prison love. There's visitations. There's letter writing. This Christmas, in fact, we're going to be doing one of those things, aren't we? Yes. Angel Tree. Angel Tree is a way for us to provide a moment of love and normalcy to kids whose parents are in prison. Not only are we ministering to the children, but we're also ministering to the inmates. To let them know that their lives and their children matter to us also. To remember those who have made mistakes. So often we want to write off those who have made mistakes in our lives. Just forget about them, let them go. But our author of Hebrews says, don't forget. Don't forget. And also, he says, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves are being tortured. Or another translation I read is, remember those who are suffering as though you also are suffering. Don't forget those who hurt. Don't forget those who feel alone, who feel lost, who feel afraid. Those who are going through difficult times and need just a kind word to help them through. You see, we remember our blessings. All those things in our lives that we are so thankful for, that have touched us and make us happy. In the midst of remembering our blessings, don't forget those who feel like they have no blessings. Who feel like the world has dumped on them their entire lives. Love them. Remind them that they're not alone. Because maybe we felt that way too. And God has reminded us that we're not alone. I love this last chapter of Hebrews. Because it takes something that we can all agree with, to love one another, and spreads it and stretches it to something far more challenging. He takes our circle of love, and makes it bigger. There's no question that each of us could probably agree that love is probably the greatest blessing that we've received in our lives. Love of family, love of friends, love of a spouse, love of children. But love has also been the greatest challenge that we have in our lives. When we see someone who's in need, and we know that we have the capacity to help, we need to do that. Because God loved us first.